It's time for ESPN Las Vegas legal insider Justin Watkins with Battleborn Injury Lawyers, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, back here at 4 o'clock hour. Alex White is here. Justin Watkins coming up in just a minute as we are live at the Battleborn Broadcast Center. I'm going to throw to you, Alex, because I want your general reaction to where college football is right now, because I will rant all the time that I think it's mostly fine. It needs a little bit of tweaking. But are there certain things in college football where you're like, this ain't right and it's making me mad?
Yeah. I mean, for one, the conferences are just so big that it's crazy. The strength of schedule within a conference is pretty nuts. So I don't know how, I don't know what we do for divisions, but things like that. I definitely think it could use some tweaking. So I think everybody's kind of on that page, right, Justin?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of issues. That's just me. I think this 12-team playoff, and it's going to take, you know, a year or two of this where all the benefit of the doubt goes for two conferences. And, you know, you got a Big 12 conference. It's got two teams in the top 12, and they're just like, nah, they're going to get one.
That's a plan.
Yeah. It's just whoever wins that game is in. And these other teams that are not playing in the conference championship game, they're in no matter what. I think that is going to start to affect how people see this sport, how they see this national championship, see it as an invitational, you know, and carrying on with players switching schools and allegiances on a yearly basis. I really think I understand that the ratings are at an all-time high. Like, clearly it hasn't impacted it yet. But I think we're heading there. I mean, I really do think we're gonna start heading down the decline for ratings and interest. And you know, when these haves and have nots are gonna create a separation in fandom, you know, the haves are big schools, but not big enough to carry the sport by themselves.
Yeah, I think you're wrong. I don't think the ratings will be affected.
Yeah,
I think change has to come from within, and the Big 12's got to fight like hell, just like the ACC does. The ACC is on kind of weak footing because of the way the season was. You know, I say that, like, it wasn't a bad season for the ACC. Oh, a conference has balance and, like, seven good teams. Mm-hmm. The SEC and the Big 10, a lot of times, are kind of misrepresented about how tough they are. The middle and the bottom of the SEC sucks. The bottom of the Big 10 sucks. Teams are allowed to pile up good win records, and they, you know, they kind of cannibalize each other up top. But one of the things that could create a lot of change is Alabama is playing in a game that it needs to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if it loses close or it gets blown out, it's out. And then that's when all hell breaks loose. Because I think then the SEC is going to flip out. The Big 12 was already going to flip out because of the BYU snubbing.
Right. But
so there's going to be change in the – there's going to be push for change in the offseason. And then I think we're moving towards – and I think this actually is good for college football. We're going to move towards getting rid of the title games and then having like mini playoffs to get into the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what makes sense with the size of the conferences, you know, but I don't know why they haven't set up that structure. I mean, clearly these big conferences need to have divisions, and then the divisions have, you know, a playoff to get the auto bid. But the problem is the way they have it set up right now, if you're in that conference championship, you're penalized. Okay. You know, not if you're Duke, right? Duke, that's your only chance to get in is to get in the conference championship and win the game. So, like, they're not harmed, but BYU is totally harmed, right? Like, I mean, the conference championship game for the Big 12 right now is not advantageous. Yeah. If BYU beats Texas Tech, they'll probably both get in because Texas Tech's got the juice. I think they've got their own political juice in that room right now.
Do you believe if the Big 12 made a bold move and they're like, you know what? Just like the preseason poll sucks, we're not doing that. We're not doing a conference title game because it penalized us. If they had done this prior and Texas Tech is sitting where it is and BYU is at 11-1, I will guarantee you BYU would not be the 11th ranked team in the CFP. They'd be on the outside looking
sure,
in.
Sure.
They're only in because of the storyline.
I agree with you.
Because they're going to be like, hey, they were being considered, but they lost to Texas Tech. Now we can bump an SEC team in front of them.
I think the ACC. I think the ACC and the Big 12 are the not. There's the P2, then there's the next two, and then there's everybody else. And so the Big 12 can wave their arms and scream and all that, and I don't think it matters. Like, I don't think the Big 10 and the SEC care if the Big 12's upset or not. I don't think they care if the ACC's upset or not. Well, they're on a three or four year plan here where they're like, you guys aren't even going to be relevant to us. We're going to take your best. We're going to take the ACC's best. And then we're going to be done with all this nonsense. We are on a whole different level than you guys. We're on a whole different investment. We're on a whole different scheme. And you guys could go do whatever rules you want to do on your own little league. And I really think that's where we're headed.
Yeah. Well, at that point, if I'm your Mark, I'm going freaking absolutely ham out of control. And I am courting the Saudis. And I am getting an equity deal. And then I'm spreading that money to every school in the conference. And I'm like, you know what? Here's $40 million a year for every football roster. Let's go.
Yeah, but here's,
come on, SEC. Come on, Big Ten.
Here's
Let's
the
go.
Thing. They don't have the following. They don't have the – they get no ROI there. Like, half of the Big 12 plays in half-empty stadiums.
Are you suggesting the Saudis need TV ratings to put the money in?
No, what I'm saying is –
just the opportunity to freaking sports watch would be great for them.
But then what? So what?
You win at a higher level. You still recruit. You pay. I mean,
yeah, right, but then
today there's a situation where I don't know if it's finalized. Chris Henry Jr. Had committed to Ohio State. Now Oregon and USC are involved at the last second. What the hell do you think is going on right now?
Right.
And if you had an equity deal with the freaking Saudis or some, you know, other, actually, how about the oil companies here and the Saudis? And I don't know. They announced publicly, like, we just gave Chris Henry at Texas Tech $10 million.
No, but
so come on, SEC. Come on, Big Ten. Let's go.
Here's my point. If the Big Ten and SEC separate, and then you've got, say, Texas Tech spending twice as much money on a roster, you're like, so what? You're not even in our league. We don't even care. Who cares?
You think it's too late to find to flex financial muscles?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe your team's better than mine. We'll never know. I'm not playing you. And you have nobody going to your games. Like, that's the thing, is half of the Big 12, the bottom of the ACC, they're playing in mostly empty stadiums. And so who cares? Like, why would you invest that kind of money? I think the Big 12 is doing the right thing, which is investing heavily. Well, they're trying to do both, but you invest heavily with your revenue share at basketball. That's what you do. Being the best basketball conference is a heck of a lot easier than being the best football conference, because that arms race has no ROI. I used to give to my university. I used to give to the collective. And now I'm looking going, why would I do that? There's no ROI for this. It's not ROI for there's no return on the investment for me personally. There's no return on investment for the university. All the money goes directly to a kid for 1 year, and then they leave and go get paid somewhere else. There's no long-term benefit to the university for me giving that money for that player to play there for 1 year. It doesn't work that way. Now, if you got 110,000 people in the stadium every single week and you've got 10 million viewers, there's probably an ROI, but that's probably 20 schools in this country.
Right. One of them could be UNLV, but our public servants won't do a damn thing. Won't take this up as an issue. You were a public servant. It'd be good if you were still a public servant if you brought this up as an issue. Now, that in many ways, I think, would be you caring and thinking, hey, there is an investment that's worth making here. In Texas, I'm not so sure that Chip Roy really cares about the issue, because if he did, he could have done something a long time ago about this, but he's making the rounds on video, Chip Roy, a rep out of Texas, about his problems with college football and that the feds do need to step in. I'm going to keep an open mind here. Let's play some of these bites. Fire number one.
We don't have college athletics. It's a joke. Like, we've destroyed college athletics. We have minor league sports, particularly football, to some degree basketball, but particularly football, masquerading as collegiate, using university brands and trading off of the sensibilities and the nostalgia of alumni. That's what we have. Massive profit centers using monopoly brands with trademarks that gouge the holy hell out of the average consumer. That's what we've created.
Okay, I like the gouge the hell out of the average consumer, because that would be of public concern. My problem is, when Chip said we early, he meant him, right? He meant Texas, right? He meant Texas A&M. Why didn't he say it?
Right.
He meant a lot of schools.
Right.
Bro, say it. Don't be a puss, because you already backed down in years past by not bringing this up as an issue on the state level. A lot of this stuff can be done on the state level. Where were you all loud about Texas and Texas A&M breaking up the rivalry going to the SEC, and then the other one going to the SEC. Tough guy now, huh?
There's a reason.
I get what he's talking about, right. But you're in one of the cradles that freaking ruin things with conference realignment, you yutz.
Right. Well, I mean, here, two things. Number one, I agree with everything he said. I think he's completely accurate with everything he said. Number two, the reason why there's this hearing going on is because people are trying, because the NCAA is going to the feds to solve the problem they created. So it's not like he, you know, he ran on this issue.
Right.
He's sitting in the committee, and he has an obligation, I believe, as a member of Congress, when you're on a committee, to do a good job and thorough job of vetting the issues in front of you. And if you got NCAA coming to you and saying, hey, we need you to step in, and here's our solution. Put everything back to where we're making all the money and the students have no choice. Like, let's go back to that. Then with that context as to why he's sitting in that chair in front of that microphone at that moment, exactly what he said, it makes all the sense in the world. Why are you coming to me for a problem that you created, and you're still sitting there acting like this is college sports? It's not. It's professional sports. Knock it off. You know, and then he went on. He went beyond all this.
I got more. By the way, I was looking up his congressional district. This SOB, he basically, if you drew like a blob to the west, a region west of Austin and San Antonio, that's his area. Oh, really? Now we're going to speak up, huh?
Yeah.
But he can't, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because
he could, but.
Well, because then you don't get reelected.
But no, stop.
This is mostly about self-preservation of staying in office.
No.
Now he can stand up and cry from the freaking hills about. Without mentioning Texas.
Oh, hold on. Take off the tinfoil cap, okay? Hold on a second here. You're acting like this is his issue that he's running on and that he's been, or that he should have been running on.
He should have been.
He's in a committee. He has an obligation to do his job as a committee member. He sees this for what it is, and he calls it out. That doesn't mean that's why he ran for Congress. That doesn't mean what he told his voters he was going to do in order to get elected. He's addressing the issue that's before him as a committee member. So, like, you're like, where were you before? But he might not care about this issue like that. It might not be the issue that he wants to run on. And I think there's plenty of people that live in the state of Texas that would agree with exactly what he said, that live in his district, right? You got Texas State right there, right in between, right? That's the largest university. There's 70 or second largest, 70 some thousand students. They're on the outside looking in, right? They're going to agree with what he says, but I don't think it's fair at all to go after a politician who is in a committee, raises questions, raises concerns, and say, why aren't you out on the campaign trail doing that? It's like, my job.
Let's pull back.
Okay.
There are lots of representatives.
Sure.
Who could have at the state level. And I understand they're serving federally, but at the state level could have brought this up as an issue about how broken this thing is and how many bad decisions universities are making. And the funny thing is, you're going to hear him say, we got a break in 30 seconds. You're going to hear him say, this is all a money grab. And meanwhile, everyone's losing money. It's a money grab for what? Because the college administrators are pigs. They have no fiscal responsibility at all. They're just chasing this dream to try to keep up with the Joneses. And a lot of it, I think, is just trying to be part of the cool club. Make sure they can go to whatever party and stuff, you know, free shrimp into their pocket. That's an old sports pig line. I would love to see a lot more outrage in the past. Justin Watkins is with us. We'll get a little more from Chip Roy on the Fed stepping in, because they'll fix it. College football.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Cofield and Company rolling on. We got to break, and Justin Watkins is like, stop getting me worked up. I'm like, that's what we do. Give me a little more Chip Roy. The feds want to step in. They have a lot of problems with college football. They got to fix this thing.
I believe this bill is designed to get through, have a rule this week, and push it through. With the forces of, with all respect to my friends at Texas and A&M, the SEC and the Big Ten, I think the gentleman from Massachusetts asked some good questions about coaches. Why in the hell are we allowing coaches to walk out and be paid not to coach for years? It's insane. I mean, what we just saw unfold with Lane Kiffin is just an absolute abomination. People say, well, this is the market working, Chip. This is not supposed to be a market, not in that classic sense. Yes,
college sports can compete with the NFL for revenue. Yes, college sports can compete with other entertainment dollars. I get that. I don't know what we're doing, what the powers that we have here in engaging and interfering with states. But if we're going to take a big federal step because a federal court intervened, and we're going to intervene, well, then maybe we should fully intervene.
Okay. First of all, when I hear about the market and coaches and what they make, Chip Roy hates America. And you're nodding. And you're nodding along with it.
No, his implication is this.
Okay.
If the coaches get to do that, why don't the student athletes get to do that? Right?
Is that what he was implying?
He's saying it's either a market or it's not.
Okay.
Right? And
well,
now
I'm a supporter of that.
He's making the argument it shouldn't be a market, but you did it. You already did it. You turned it into a market, right? He's saying this wasn't supposed to be what this was about. And you made it about this, which is harkening right back to the Supreme Court's initial opinion in Alston, which says you have created a marketplace and an industry. That's why antitrust must be abided by. You are open to those challenges because you are not amateur. You are not semi-governmental entity. You are a marketplace. You make billions of dollars, right? But to the point that you talked about before the break, who's making the billions? Like, where's this money going? Who's making all this money? Like, that's where you're talking right about what I was saying as a booster for Oregon State. It's like, no, they're not making money. They're just taking this product and getting a whole bunch of alumni to get a bunch of money that they spend that has no ROI. They are not making money. They're creating jobs, and those people are getting paid money, and there's more jobs, and those people are getting paid money, but they're all getting paid money that's being donated, not that's being earned. And I don't want to be a part of that system. I'm out on it. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I'll donate to my university for their building fund to build a new engineering building or something like that. That has an ROI, down the road for me, actually, too. The better my degree looks, the better I do. Now, that's not going to happen. I'm in the job that I'm in for the rest of my life. But there is reasons to have your university prosper. But returning a great football team and sacrificing academics as a backseat to that is not that kind of ROI to me.
Last one from Chip Roy, rep out of Texas.
Maybe we should fix the damn mess so that we don't have, 16 teams in the SEC and 17 teams in the ACC and 19 teams in the Big Ten and frigging Stanford and Berkeley on the West Coast in the Atlantic Coast Conference, all because of money. I mean, it's just laughable that this is anything but about a massive money grab.
Okay. If Chip and the other reps step up and they're like, hey, let's do this big 80 that we talked about all summer. Right, there's 80 FBS teams, and it's all matched up. A lot of it's matched up regionally. Let's go back to that. Let's go back to that idea. That was a Boise State admin idea. I love that, but they're not going to push for that.
No,
I love the conference thing. Like, it's crazy. The numbers are all out of line, and Cal and Stanford are playing the ACC. What are the Feds going to do about that?
No, you're missing the point of the conversation, or you're just trying to piss me off. The NCAA is in front of him right there saying, we've got a bill to fix this. And he's saying, this doesn't fix the problem you created. Here's the problem you created. How does this make any sense? What he's really saying, and this is the part I wish he would say. You have allowed the TV executives to run public universities, and that is unacceptable. That's what needs to be said. Because whatever the ESPN and Fox decide that they want to happen is what's happening. The CFP is a joke because ESPN needs to get in their teams and their conferences for their TV deals, and Fox needs to get in theirs, and they're at battle, and they're making the calls, not some honorable selection committee. Like, if it was an honorable selection committee, then FSU would have gotten in, or if FSU doesn't get in, now Ole Miss doesn't get in because they lost their coach. But you're not going to see that equal standard being applied because one's an ESPN school and one's not. Right? So, I like what he's doing, or like what he's saying, but I don't think he's not saying we need to intervene. He's saying you're asking us to intervene. Right. And if you're asking us, then why don't we just do it right? Because what you're proposing is not right. All right, I'm calm now.
You can keep going.
No, that's all I got. It.
Justin Watkins, Battleborn Injury Lawyers, big college football fan, former public servant. Alex Waite is here with us as well. I want to get to pros and Joes in just a second. Just real quick, Oregon State, as you mentioned, you know, donate, not donate. Football program really turned into a mess the last couple of years. What do you think about their hire?
I like it. I mean, I mean, everybody should be, you know, excited about the hire that they get. You know, you never know what it's going to turn out to be. But, I mean, so far, he's said a lot of the right things. You know, he was Alabama's co-offensive coordinator. He brought three Alabama coaches with him, brought a GM with him from Alabama. That's a pretty big get. I mean, I think you get people now, of course, they're getting promoted and coming over. But I think that's a big deal from a university visibility standpoint. He immediately turned, you know, he got hired 3 days before signing day and took our 6-person class up to a 10-person class with some good flips from some quality schools. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited for that hire. Everything I just talked about for the first 15 minutes aside.
All right, Alex, what are we going to do with the title games? And we'll get some plays in here as well with the pros. Or pro versus Joe. Sunbelt, James Madison, any chance that Troy knocks him off getting, what, like 23?
I tried really hard to make a case to even taking the points here with Troy, and I cannot get there, and I'm not really one to do the ABC, but this is the only conference that still has divisions, and I think Troy was pretty fortunate to be representing the West because Old Dominion's technically the second-best team in this conference in the Sunbelt, and James Madison beat up on Old Dominion pretty good. Old Dominion shut out Troy. So it's the rushing defense. I can't get there. I think James Madison rolls here and could even cover that.
And James Madison has all the incentive in the world. They're dreaming of CFP stuff here, so they're going to pile it on if they can.
Okay. North Texas and Tulane.
Ooh. Originally, I've been loving North Texas all year. They're such a fun team to watch. They're a great offense. I like Tulane in this spot, catching 2.5. I just think that the tricky part for North Texas, we saw it against South Florida. They lost pretty bad, 63-36, and that was because their quarterback could run. And Jake Retzlaff for Tulane, he can also run. So I don't think they're going to be able to stop him. It is probably going to be a shootout. It's a very high total, so a lot of points, but I think it's worth it taking the points with Tulane.
Yeah, I really liked North Texas, and I was excited to like bet this game thinking that Tulane was going to be the slight favorite. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to grab North Texas. I was like, 2.5? So, yeah, I think Tulane's the side. I mean, I'm not betting that one, but Tulane, I like Tulane.
Championship game weekend, title game weekend, going through some of the games, getting leans and likes, and then we'll see what the official plays are from the Joe. Okay, UNLV and Boise, and I can't believe the number actually did open up at one site at UNLV -1.5. It lasted for like a few hours, and now it's flipped all the way back with the announcement that Boise's quarterback, Madsen, is back. It's now Boise 4.
Yeah, I got UNLV at 4.5, actually. So I like UNLV on this side, like I told you. I think they're going to win this game outright. I think they're going to win. So, I'm going to sprinkle a little bit on money line.
I'm probably not betting this game. I'm rooting for the Rebels. I hope they can get it done third time around here in the Mountain West Conference. But I like what I've seen from them as of late. I thought that Hawaii game was really impressive, especially defensively. So I think they could get it done here. I really think the first time around, it was a terrible spot for UNLV. They went to Wyoming, they were feeling fat and happy, fixed some things, came back here, got into a shootout with Air Force, had to prep for that triple option, and then went to Boise. And it was just a bad spot, I hope, I think. So I do like the points, if anything.
BYU getting 13 against Texas Tech in the Big 12.
I'm BYU, like, I've been a believer of them this whole year. But the last time these two came together, BYU got smacked. And so I'm just gun shy on this game. I love that number. I mean, obviously a half point more would be great, but I love that number. If I was forced to bet, I would definitely take BYU and feel like that's I'm comfortable there, but I'm not betting this just because the last game was a beatdown. It wasn't close.
Well, and not to mention Texas Tech settled for 5 field goals, so it could have been a lot worse than it even was. But what does that say about BYU and their red zone defense? I'm really impressed with what I've seen from them the last 3 weeks after losing that game to Tech. I don't know. If you made me play it, I'd take the points, but I'm probably not either.
Less than a minute, Bama has dominated the Georgia series. Georgia is 2.5 in this one.
I like Georgia here. I think they're the better team. Bama's lost half its staff. They're come back to coach this week, but they've been gone for the last 5 days in Oregon. So I think they got some challenges there. And I think Georgia's a better team.
I don't like that about the staff, but I am going to go with Bama here and take the 2.5 with them as well. They did win the first time. Now, you were talking about Boise and UNLV and kind of where they were going the last month. That is true about Bama and Georgia. Ty Simpson's taking a step back. I'm going to go off a full season. Alabama is the better team. They're higher power rated on my power ratings.
Indiana, Ohio State, CFP reaction. We'll get to a legal story or two if we can down the stretch here. Justin Watkins, Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Give him a call if you need advice, you need help. 766-1400. In the north, dial 775-766-1400.
Live from the Battleborn Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, Pro versus Joe. Justin Watkins, the Joe, the Pro, Alex White. Last couple of minutes here, we're going through the conference title games. Indiana, Ohio State is enticingly, I think, small to take the Buckeyes. Is there too much respect being paid to Indiana here? What do you guys think?
That was my first impression is like, I still think, I know they're number one and number two in the nation, but I think Ohio State is pretty clearly better than Indiana. And so I bet Ohio State -4. I was okay with it.
I agree. I have Ohio State 5.5, maybe 6 now points higher than Indiana, who is second on my power ratings. But I like Ohio State and think they proved a lot last week against Michigan and their composure. And they are kind of like a mini NFL team, right? Just how they play. And they aren't that flashy. They're not going to have the same offensive stats as Indiana, but they're going to run out the clock and they're going to kind of strangle you and take away what you do best. They did it to him last year. I mean, they held him to 86 rushing yards and, I don't know, 90 passing. So I think there's still a bigger gap than people think.
Your plays, did we get to all of them?
We got to all of them.
Okay.
UNLV.
Yeah. I took a UNLV. Yeah. We talked about that. Yeah. I like I said, I think they're going to win the game. I took a money line.
Nice. Looking ahead, I think you guys are on to something very important when you mentioned Alabama losing coaches. You know that Oregon's going to go into this playoff. It's DC and it's OC are both leaving. Mm-hmm. And we'll play the audio probably tomorrow. Dan Mullen gave a real good 3-minute capsule the other day on what it's like when you get hired somewhere else and you're still coaching at your current spot.
Yeah,
your
no
mind
bueno,
is
man.
All over the place. He was completely honest. I mean, he even called it Urban Meyer on one of the job switches with Urban. He's like, Urban just wasn't there for many of the practices as he was getting ready for his next stop. It didn't mean the game wasn't important, but it's just not possible to make sure that you are getting ready for this next stage and that you can put all the time you would normally put in on your current job.
It's impossible, right? Like, these guys are obsessive. The reason why they're successful is because they're obsessive about week over week, every game, day in, day out. They're putting in 12, 14, 16 hours on that next opponent. And when you take another job and that job's your future, you only have so many hours in the day. There's only so much you can do. And we're talking about the Alabama Oregon State connection. I mean, and it's not like it's a quick flight from from Corvallis to Tuscaloosa. It's not easy for all those coaches to fly over, do the introductory press conference, recruit, right? Because signing day is today, recruit, and then fly back to Tuscaloosa and be a part of that game plan for the SEC championship game. And like you said, it's a must win for Alabama if they want to make it the CFP. I don't know if that's the case or not, just because I don't believe that if Alabama is on the cusp, if BYU loses, if all those teams on the cusp lose, Alabama's in. That's just my opinion. History has shown the CFP committee will favor Alabama.
Well, last year did show that they left Alabama out because SMU was right there. They lost their conference championship game, right? Clemson snuck in. They still put SMU in, and they left Alabama out. I don't think that they would penalize them for now making the SEC tournament or
last
championship.
Minute here. I believe Notre Dame is the number 2 team in the country. I've been saying that for 5 weeks. Talking to sportsbook people, they also hold Notre Dame in very high regard. I saw there's some BYU fans, media, who are crying and pissing and moaning about how BYU head-to-head against Notre Dame, it's not even close. I'm going to go with Vegas. What do you think the number is in Vegas if Notre Dame and BYU play in a neutral?
7.
Keep in mind, Notre Dame is rated at sportsbooks, some of them, higher than Texas Tech. That's 13.
Hmm.
I was told by one book director, Notre Dame 14.5 against BYU. And there are BYU people who are like, resumes are the same. They're not.
Well, the resumes might be the same. Now, what Vegas thinks about, like, what they've seen in those resumes, Notre Dame's strength of schedule is terrible. I mean, they haven't played a top 25 team and beat them.
They beat a bunch of teams that would be at the back end of the top 25. They knocked them out. We have, like, 5 seconds.
Yeah, like, the highest is, like, what, number 42?
They've pounded people.
Yes.
They pounded.
What do you mean, 21-0?
We got to break.
Live from the Battleborn Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Since the show is Cofield and Company, I like to talk about personal stuff that no one else cares about, but, you know, I worry about it. We'll bring in John Von Tobel for part of this conversation. John, I was just saying to Alex that things are going like a million miles an hour with all the college football stuff happening right now and UNLV and all that. I can't keep up. I'm very panicked on this trip to Boise. If it rains, I got to get like a rain. I'll call it a rain slicker. I got to get a rain outfit. I don't have a rain outfit and I got to get it. Like, I have to get it before tomorrow. So I'm freaking out. I'm not going to be wet for this game.
Yeah, I think the most important part, and you used the term properly, was outfit. Because pants are, I think, a very underrated aspect of dealing with rain. We don't get it that much. So, like, 2 weeks ago when it was raining a ton, it was driving me nuts because all I had was jeans. And it was just, like, damp jeans all day. And I was like, I don't like this feeling. Wet jeans suck to wear. And so to have to endure that, you need some sort of pant that'll reflect the water.
Well, the other thing is, like, unless you go skiing or to the snow, you go to Mount Charleston, like, who has boots? Unless you're a laborer, which God bless all you guys. Back in the day, I could borrow my father's work boots or something. I got boots. I got freaking boots.
You don't have hiking boots? Like, I feel like hiking boots would be, like, an adequate way to...
I think I have 15-year-old, like, black boots, but they also are in my garage where the outdoor cats have urinated on them so many times, which actually would be kind of cool to
walk around
Boise. They are water resistant, but they're going to smell like hell. So now I got to buy boots.
I feel like Alex is well traveled. Can't you borrow any tips from her?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me to borrow boots from her. I'm like,
I did too.
I hope she's not. I mean,
you do have tiny feet, I think, but I don't know.
I could have tiny feet. All right. Well, let's talk about this game. And I'm glad you gave me the information the other day that Boise actually opened as a dog at one book, and now it's swung all the way back to the point where Justin Watkins just told us he got +4.5 on the Rebels in Boise.
So I would love to hear Alex's thoughts on this because she makes her numbers, and you know I like to do this exercise with a lot of these games. As you guys will well remember, maybe our audience remembers, let's go back to October when these two teams met. Boise is hosting UNLV, and they are 13.5-point favorites in that game. They drop 50. They cover. There's no real, I'll call them, box score anomalies, right? UNLV doesn't turn the ball over 4 times, doesn't outgain them, doesn't net yards per play, still in favor of Boise. You know, it's a thorough Boise win. In fact, Boise was actually down in the turnover column. They were -1. They committed 2 to the UNLV's 1. And yet, Alex, here we are. It's 4? Like, I understand maybe if you want to tell me, hey, Maddox Mattson's coming back after a really long absence. Okay, maybe that's worth some sort of an adjustment, but a 9-point adjustment from a number that closed under 14 that was covered with relative ease. What in the world am I missing here as to why this is so short?
Well, the last few weeks, I mean, the bookmakers and the bettors have been pretty off with UNLV, right? I mean, a lot of people bet on Hawaii in that Friday game, and they covered with ease in that. So I think the adjustment has been pretty drastic for UNLV over the past few weeks. I'm right there at the number, and so I'm not going to do anything with this one. I can definitely see where you're making that point, because I don't think I adjusted enough taking Maddox Mattson out the first time, right? And now he's coming back. We don't know if he's 100, so it's a tough game to handicap for sure.
I mean, I'll say this, Steve. I think for UNLV, it's been a very strong year. I actually do think there's like an outside shot that they can still make the college football playoff. We had actually talked about this during the week. I had brought this up on Monday. UNLV was 50-1 to make the college football playoff, and my scenario was, if you beat Boise State as an 11-2 conference champion with a revenge over one of your losses, would your strength of schedule be to the point where you could jump James Madison in the college football playoff rankings? You would need Duke to win the ACC as well, and maybe you can get in. So we saw after the college football playoff rankings got released yesterday, their odds to get to the college football playoff went from 50-1 to 30-1. So somebody at least thinks that this could happen. But to the whole premise of this game, I will take the low-hanging fruit. I laid it with Boise State. I hope UNLV wins. It'd be good for the program. It would be cool. But this sort of an adjustment for a team that ranks 136th in opponent expected points added per rush and is going to have trouble stopping the run and defensively is at all of its issues. And, you know, Alex mentioned the wins, I guess we can call this, for UNLV. Colorado State, Hawaii in the mainland, Nevada, and a Utah State team that you should have lost to. I don't think this adjustment should be made. I think this is a short number.
Indiana and Ohio State, similar number at 4. It's come down a bunch. You picking the Hoosiers to pull off the upset?
Not at this number, no. I think we're probably at a point where we're actually waiting to see if this number gets cheap enough to bet Ohio State, if anything. I think it's probably right where it should be, maybe a little too cheap in favor of Indiana. I think they've been great. I don't think that this is a team that was like last year. If we remember last year, the two tests, if you will, that Indiana faced, it was Ohio State, it was Notre Dame. They failed them spectacularly. I think this team is better than that team, and so I think this would be a relatively tight game. Having said that, if you're going to get me to a territory of like 3.5, maybe even 4, and by the way, I'm looking at Hard Rock far away, it's 3.5, so we'll see if that number becomes widely available. I think that would be a cheap number to lay for Ohio State if we're talking about 3 in the hook. So that's what I'll be waiting for here. I thought this should have been like 4.5, maybe 5, right around where we saw some spots open.
Can I break in for 1 second? We just talked about Oregon when the playoff comes around, that they lost their OC and their DC. Hardline did get hired today, right, by South Florida?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that another point of confidence for Indiana bettors? Like, hey, the OC might have like 25% of his mind on this game.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I always have trouble with those situations of gauging whether or not a person is focused and how much I actually want to factor that in to a betting line or how I'm going to alter my numbers or my approach. I'm going to assume, much like I do with health at times, and I think I brought this up to you guys before, if a person is available, if they are playing, I assume that they are the person that they have been all season long. And I would assume that that is the case for offensive coordinators and head coaches of the like, who might have some other things, other irons in the fire. I'll allude really quickly. Kalani Sitake, we see the clip. I don't know if you guys saw the video of him telling BYU that he was staying. One of the things he says is in the clip, the agents are working it out. Like, he's not really doing anything. His people are. And I would assume the same thing goes for all these guys, too.
Well, there is one matchup here with the American. Winner makes it into the dance here. North Texas, Tulane, kind of cancel each other out. Both coaches moving on at the end of the year. What are you doing here? Mean Green, -2.5.
I think that I will go with the Mean Green. I think this is a little short. Now, I will say, I think this is one of those interesting matchups, Alex, where it's like weakness on weakness. So which one's going to be buoyed by the other? If you look at Tulane and their efficiency on the ground, they have not been a very good running game. They're 99th in the country and expected points added per rush. But the Mean Green come in with one of the worst run defenses in the country. They're 131st. So what weakness is going to be buoyed? And I do think that would be like, if I'm a bad defensive team and if I'm an abhorrent defensive team, which North Texas is, I think you raise the floor of any offense that you faced. And if all of a sudden Tulane can find just a skosh of balance with a top 25 passing attack, I think that's going to be enough for them to cover a number that's under that field goal. So give me Tulane to not only cover 2.5, but maybe even win this game outright. And that won't be a giant leap considering it's a coin flip, obviously.
Moving to the Saturday games here, what are you doing with the Big 12? Texas Tech dominated the first time around against BYU. Are you taking the points here with the Cougars?
No, I think it's going to be lay it or pass. And obviously this opened 11.5. We're up to 13 in some spots. I wouldn't be surprised if we get to 14 by the time we get to kick. So if you like BYU, just hold out and see. And look, from 11.5 to this number now, you're not really missing out on that much in terms of where this number might land. So you can still go ahead and lay it if you've missed out on it. But I'm a big fan of the Red Raiders defensive line. They are great. They are going to be able to pummel anybody they face up with. That includes Bear Bachmeier. By the way, is he related to Hank Bachmeier, correct?
Yeah.
the former long-haired Boise State, Louisiana Tech, and one more spot that I can't remember, quarterback.
Wake.
That's what it was, yeah. But I do think, much kind of like his brother, like Hank Bachmeier used to take a ton of hits. Bear Bachmeier does at times, too, and I think Texas Tech's going to be able to get after him. I actually think the Red Raiders are a sneaky national championship contender. I do think Ohio State is better than everybody else, but not by a super wide margin, and I wouldn't be surprised, depending on how the bracket breaks, if we see Texas Tech and Ohio State going at it for a natty.
Virginia and Duke.
Shootout, I think. I don't really have a feel for the side, but I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. We've seen some shops already start to creep toward the over. We saw, I think, spots like Circa open up at 56, up to 58.5 at one point. Now we're kind of toggling back and forth between these two numbers. These are two teams that I think are going to get into a wild shootout. And with such a, you know, I think you could go two different ways with games like this. You know, in the NBA, when you get to a game seven, the pace slows down, the defense ratchets up, and those games tend to go under. But I think in these types of games, especially with two bad defensive teams, you get those kitchen sink games. So I think you're going to get a lot of big plays, a lot of explosives, two teams that generally give those up as well. And weather permitting, you should be able to get a high-scoring affair between these two. I like the over more than anything else.
NFL with JBT on ESPN Las Vegas, ESPN Reno. Where are you on the Steelers right now? There's a lot of points they're getting against Baltimore.
I think if it's going to start to drift, because we're starting to see some market support for Baltimore, give me the Ravens. You know, I was just making fun of my colleague Stormy Bonatoni today, because she was so pro Aaron Rodgers and so pro Pittsburgh Steelers. And if you remember in week one, he threw four touchdowns, and then PFF ranked him like the 27th graded quarterback, and everybody was losing their minds because they didn't understand that he threw the ball 3 yards downfield and got a million yards after the catch, and that he was doing nothing. And he's done nothing all year long. Averaged up the targets about 6 yards. He has been awful. He's completing about 60% of his passes for absolutely nothing. I think this team stinks. I think Tomlin's probably on the way out. And I do think, while Baltimore has been shaky, and I bet against them with Cincinnati, this is a much different animal. And if there was going to be a bloodletting where Baltimore gets back on track, it would be against a little tiny opponent like the Pittsburgh Steelers here.
What do you want to do with the Colts in Jacksonville? Indy leaking oil.
Leaking oil, if you had to guess, what year do you think it was the last time Indianapolis won in Jacksonville? Or do you know this off the top of your head?
2023.
2014. Wow. They have not won in Jacksonville since 2014. It has been a house of horrors for Indy, and they are favored here. Having said that, I do lean a little bit toward them. I mean, I think we're probably near like the bottom of the market with where they've been throughout the course of the year here. They are a team that got a little lucky with the absence of Sauce Gardner, who I don't think is going to be out there, but still, maybe he'll come back at some point. But the skill positions are still there. And give Danny Dimes credit. He actually played really well in the game against Houston. It's just that the offense as a whole really was disjointed. Some key drops from Josh Downs. I think it would be Indy or nothing.
Question, if you're a believer in the Bears, or are they fraudulent? Is this a good spot to bet them here at Green Bay against the Packers?
I am not a believer. I do think they're fraudulent, but I think you hear the smile in my voice because I have tested that theory multiple times now, and it has not worked out. But you know what? I'm a stubborn guy, so let's do it again here. I think 6 is a pretty fair number, 6.5 to lay with Green Bay. I think one of the things that's really going to work for Green Bay, obviously their ability to generate explosives, to really test the Chicago Bears defense. It doesn't rush the passer particularly well, and Green Bay is good enough on defense. They're very good against the run, that they're going to be able to bottle up the Bears' biggest weapon and force that sub 60% completion quarterback to throw the ball. And I think that's not going to bode well for them.
You know, there are people who hate sports and curmudgeons like Jeff Parles, Stray, who question why Joe Burrow is coming back for Cincinnati. This is why. Because it's fun. Because he's a competitor. Because the Bengals can really F up the whole AFC picture. And look at this line now, Cincy and Buffalo.
Hey, can I add to that really quickly? I'll just say really quickly, why didn't he come back last week? That was a key AFC game. You win that, all of a sudden you're just a game back in the division. Having said that, give me Cincinnati. Joey B's a gamer, dude. He went out there against Baltimore, and he looked every bit of Joe Burrow, and this offense is going to get better as he gets more comfortable and back in the fold. The Buffalo defense is not good. It's a relatively big number, I think, comparative to where Cincinnati's at with Burrow out there. Give me the Bengals.
15 seconds. Westgate, JBT, Saturday football preview show is back.
Yes, it is. So come out, say what's up. Love hanging out there, especially on Conference Championship Saturday. And you can see my mustache in person.
I didn't want to comment on that because we have it on video. And, video for the audience doesn't really work. But, my God, it's glorious. It is glorious. Yes. Yes, Senor. Thank you so much. There he is. JBT, Westgate, 8 a.m. Alex and I will be at TI, Throw the Flag, and even better, college football preview show. Lots of shows on ESPN Las Vegas on Saturday morning.